Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We observe today not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
The Human Zoo, where they don't hide away the sick animals.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the great dictator.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Stand to attention when I talk to you!
On Talk Radio.
This mess!
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. We have reached the end of another tumultuous week in the history of Britain, in the history of Brexit, in the history of Parliament, in the history of England, Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales. And here we are consumed, by the way, with indecision, consumed with doubt. We're guilty about almost everything. We feel as though somehow capitalism has failed the world. We feel as though somehow we're being told all the time by our political leaders that things should get better, but they never will. We're told all the time that we should be doing more for those who are less fortunate than we are. We are told all the time that we are negative, that we are in losing territory, that we will never ever get back to the heights of where we once were. Well, I've got news for all of you doomsayers out there. I've got news for all of you gloom merchants. I'm going to be celebrating what is great to be British this morning, because quite frankly, I'm sick to death of hearing from the likes of Jeremy Corbyn that the gap between the rich and the poor is only going to get bigger. The fact that everybody's queuing up for food at food banks means that we are a nation that has failed our people. The fact that everybody is so miserable going to work every single day because they can't survive on the wages which they actually make. I'm sick to death of all of the negativity. I'm going to celebrate what should be positive about this country. We live in a fantastic country. We live in a fantastic age. We live at a time when almost all diseases have been eradicated. We live at a time when infant mortality is higher than it has ever been. We live in a time where there are even fewer poor people in the world than there have ever been. We live in a time when we should be looking forward, not backwards, to a great deal of prosperity, to a great deal of goodness, to a great life. A weekend is coming, right? People are going to be going to football matches. They're going to be having parties. Some people are going to bingo tonight, as far as I know. They're all going to be having a great time. People have got to be very, very happy about the fact that they're now enjoying themselves more than they ever have. We've got more leisure time than we've ever had. We've got more places to go than we could ever go before. We've got cheap flights taking us to all sorts of parts of the world that we would never have imagined going to. I'm sick to death of people telling me that I should be miserable, that I should be guilty, that I should be somehow doing better for other people, that I should somehow be paying more taxes, that we should somehow be doing an awful lot more for those people that are less fortunate than we are. Why don't we just actually celebrate what is great about Britain? Why don't we celebrate what is going to be great about leaving the European Union? And why don't we celebrate Friday? Because it's also Burns night, by the way, and we're going to get some haggis coming in, and we're also going to have some whiskey as well. 0344 499 1000. Today, I only want to hear from people who are excited to be alive. I only want to hear from people who are not negative. I don't want to hear from the likes of the Ramonas who are complaining that we're going to leave Europe and it's all going to go to hell in a handcart. I don't want to hear from the ERG group who are going to tell me, oh, that unless we have a no-deal Brexit, it's all going to be terrible. We're going to be slaves to the European Union for the rest of the time. Just shut up, the lot of you. Call me and tell me why you're happy to be alive. 0344 499 1000. And of course, as if you didn't need any other reason to be happy, and we got the Perrier Awards coming up later on as well. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio. I'm Mike Graham.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Now, we are going to talk about happiness, we are going to talk about positivity, but we're also going to talk about Prince William, because he came out the other day and said that he wondered whether the great sort of tradition of having a British stiff upper lip actually might not be such a good thing in the long run. I'm not going to say one way or another whether he, of all people, should say something like that, because he comes from, of course, the royal family, which is the very definition of the stiff upper lip. The Queen herself being recorded this morning in the Times, no less, talking to the Women's Institute Institute about how we should actually find common ground. We should stop arguing with each other so much, and we should actually try and get on with each other a little bit better. That is being kind of seen as her intervention into Brexit. It's a very similar message to the one she gave out over Christmas, of course, when she gave her Christmas speech, Christmas address to the nation. But the bottom line for me is that, look, if you want to cope with stuff in whichever way you want to cope with it, that is down to you. I don't think it's up to Prince William or anybody else to tell us whether we should have a stiff upper lip or a limp one, because quite frankly, it's none of his business, is it? 0344 499 1000. I don't really want a touchy-feely king, thanks very much indeed. I prefer to have the Queen, who does have a stiff upper lip, but also is eminently sensible, and has when she urges people to find common ground and respect for each other and different points of view, I think most people would agree with her. But let's talk first of all to Peter in Folkestone and Mark in Castleford. Now, Mark, a very good afternoon to you, I should say. Before I talk to you, though, Mark, I want you to have a listen to this.
Mr. Speaker, the member for Islington North, will the real member please stand up? I was speaking this morning to channel my inner leader of the opposition, to Mark from Castleford on Talk Radio, who said to me, we don't need an election because we don't have an opposition, they don't have a policy, there is no choice. We need Parliament to get on and implement Brexit.
Now, Mark, I don't know what you make of that or whether you've ever heard it before, but George Freeman was the MP that we were speaking to on Talk Radio the other week. He was down in the tent with me on College Green, and he quoted you in the Houses of Parliament in Prime Minister's Questions. What do you make of that?
Hallelujah, Mike. That's the word for the day.
Hey, it is.
I'm Baldock, I remember it, yes, a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, to be honest, we didn't actually know that he had done it that day because our political guy, Ross, was with us in the tent and we weren't absolutely paying attention to every cough and spit of Prime Minister's Questions, but somebody alerted us to it the other day. And so there you have it. You've now been, and that will mean, if you want to get a hold of it, by the way, that you will be in Hansard, you know, which is the record of all political business that goes on inside the House of Commons.
Oh, I'll be next to some rogues there then, won't I?
You might be able to claim some expenses if you do it right. You never know.
I wouldn't dream of doing it, actually.
No, of course. Of course not. Now, what do you want to tell us?
No, I couldn't agree with you more, Mike, about this this happiness.
Yeah.
Well, not so much happiness. It's just that, you know, we're a really good country, Mike. We shouldn't do ourselves down so much. For goodness sake, people are risking everything to come here. Does that not tell you something about the sort of country we have?
Exactly.
I mean, just look around. I mean, what it's become, I don't want to sound too grumpy old man about it, but in comparison to when I was growing up, it's a fantastic place.
Totally.
It's not perfect, and that's where I have issues with people like Jeremy Corbyn, is that, you know, they try to take a small issues and build them up to divide us, really.
Yes, no, I think divisiveness is what they do, and the less we listen to them, the better, I think.
You know, if you want to go and find poverty, you can find it. Yeah. But I hate to say, any economic historian worth their salt will tell you 'twas always the case, and it will always be the case.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just look at things such as consumer durables, look at food, look at life opportunities, look at the opportunities for my young children, and I think, good God, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
They're absolutely. You know, I mean, we're a handful, literally a handful of countries, there's perhaps five or six, where you would say they're the places I want to go. And I would say to Jeremy Corbyn, name any country that is significantly better for life opportunities than here.
Well, we're always going to be in the top five of anybody's list, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think we've, I mean, in terms of economic, you know, the ones that are above us are America, Japan, India, China. Mm. There you go. Would you rather go there?
In terms of an economy, yes, that's true. But no, in terms of lifestyle, absolutely not. I mean, the other thing I saw the other day, and as I said, I mentioned it, I think, to Julie Hartley-Brewer, in terms of places where you feel safe walking home at night, there was an awful lot of countries that you would imagine people would feel safer in than here. But actually, Britain was very high up on that list as well. Places like Australia, very dangerous place to walk home. Places like Brazil, very dangerous. Places like Austria, you know, places like France, more dangerous than here.
I think, Mike, as well, there's something cultural here, and perhaps Prince William touched upon it. We have a wonderful way here of dealing with adversity, and it's that self-deprecating humour that we have. We've always had it.
Yeah.
Satire, irony, pathos, and that is something which, having been to many other countries, they don't understand the fact that we've got through some terrible times by almost laughing at ourselves and saying, you know what, it might be bad now, but it will get better.
Sure.
We've had it worse.
No, exactly. And you know what? I mean, people will probably castigate me for this, but I've always said about the one thing that was good about the Tony Blair government was that when he came in, there was a great feeling of optimism in the country. People started to believe in themselves again because he told them to, you know? And in fact, we haven't really had that feeling since then.
No, and you're right to pick up on Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn. The pair of them really are. They kind of suck the life out of
them,
don't they?
They do.
And Jeremy Corbyn, I mean, look, I'm not his greatest fan, as you may tell, but he was a man who thought it was a really good idea to go to East Germany.
Yeah.
Now, that was a state that was shooting its own people if they attempted to leave.
Yeah.
He thought that was better to go there. Now, that's all you need to know about that man.
No, I think you're absolutely right, Mark. Well, listen, very glad that you've made it into Hansard and very glad that you got a mention in Parliament. And long may it continue. Let's talk to Peter, who's in Folkestone. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Very well, sir. What would you like to say?
Well, following on what you've just said with Mark from Castleford there, I went away this morning and did some research. And according to Statista.com, you know, the UK has the fifth largest GDP by ranking in 2017, and the only countries higher than us are Germany, Japan, China, and the United States. We also have one of the lower sets of youth unemployment across the whole of Europe, where and bizarrely, when you and Mark were talking, the most attractive countries for the world's workers, there are five: US, Germany, Canada, Australia, and the UK. And previously, the UK was, in 2014, higher than Germany.
Really?
But since Brexit, they say, but however, they don't say what part. And what I would argue is, since all the negative chat about Brexit, since all the negative doom, gloom, we're all going to fall down and croak over the next couple of days, That has not helped.
No.
And all these people that have talked down our country are flat out straight. They are equally as responsible as any Brexit. You know, they blame Brexit voters. Well, actually, if you jump onto a bandwagon and you say everything will be rubbish, then you take some responsibility for knocking out the enthusiasm and the future view of this country. This country, I've worked in Germany over the last 6 years. I've worked in France and other places. And this is one story I always tell German people so they try and understand British humour. There was a guy in the UK who wrote a book called 50 Crap Towns. And he named 50 crap towns in the UK, right? And he published the book. And then he sent it out. And he was inundated with squillions of emails, right? And it wasn't because people were complaining about the towns he mentioned.
Right.
They were demanding to know why their town wasn't included in the 50 crap towns.
Right, absolutely
right.
So he
had to actually put another volume out to allow for all this public. And German people don't understand. And they go, but this is terrible. Like, no. This is British people who choose to be competitive about everything.
Yes.
And if you say we're better, we'll say we're best.
Yes.
If you say we're, you know, this is rubbish, we'll say we're worse.
Right.
We haven't.
Well, I mean, one of my favourite
enthusiasm.
One of my favourite things we did this week was the tuneless choir. You know, only in this country could you be celebrating people who can't sing joining a choir. You know,
well,
and apparently it's becoming
country,
a massive thing.
Mike. This is a horrible thing to say about, you know, the young prince, right? But only a British royal could talk about a mental health situation and do an interview with a person called Lady Gaga to actually clarify the point.
Well, indeed. I think many a truer word said in jest. Peter, thank you very much indeed. Peter in Folkestone. Let's talk to Jay, who's in Southampton. Hello, Jay.
Hello, Mike. I just wanted to say that I think we live in an absolutely great country. And
yes.
I think what you've done on your show today is we've been needing to have a debate like this for a while. I mean, look at we're a fantastic country. We've got law and order. We've got good education. We've got free healthcare. You know, if you go to work, you can have foreign holidays every year. You can shop 7 days a week. You can eat till you go pot.
Everybody's got a massive television.
Absolutely. And people go back to the past. I mean, I was born in 69, so I was 10 years old in 79.
Right.
You know, I was a young boy then, but things were pretty drab. I mean, Sundays, the world, you know, England would come to a halt. All the shops would be shut.
Right.
You only had a couple of channels to look at on the telly. People have got it so good now, they forget just how far we've come in the last 40 years.
Well, do you know,
years.
Also, as an exercise just in psychology this morning, right, I actually feel better now than I did when I started the show. And I'm sure that has something to do with listening to loads of people like yourself agreeing with me that we do live in a great place. We do have great opportunities. We are very fortunate. And we should be more willing to celebrate that. And I actually feel great about all that.
Absolutely. I've had a spring in my step all morning.
Brilliant.
And I couldn't wait to come on here and just say what a great country we are.
Yeah.
And we should all think positive. And we need. And I also want to say, I think you're getting a bit soft in your old age. You had an interview this week with that. Was he called Stephen Doherty?
Oh, Stephen Doherty, yeah. No, he's blocked me on Twitter. Don't worry about that.
I thought you was going to rip him a new backside.
But well, I thought I did. I think he thinks I did. But, I mean, he still hasn't put up those emails that he said he was going to put up on his Twitter account.
No, because they don't exist.
No, exactly.
Anyway, it's a great country. Well done, Mike. And I just want to say also, I'm a Remainer. But with what's gone on with the EU, I think now perhaps we're better off getting out. And, you know, we'll just go out there and we'll make it work. And
of course
we've never had it so good.
Of course we will. And you know what, Jay? Maybe it will actually get better. You never know. What a great call. Jay, thank you very much indeed. So many tremendous calls today. People absolutely buying into the idea of positivity. It's not just about being happy. You don't have to be happy all the time. I mean, there's nothing more irritating than somebody who's happy all the time. I'm not suggesting that. But at least we don't have to be miserable all the time either. And there's nothing wrong with being annoyed. There's nothing wrong with being sad. There's nothing wrong with occasionally being irritable about something. However, the bottom line is, basically, it's much better to be positive rather than to be negative. Craig says, this is a great country, MG. You are spot on. I've travelled a lot, but I always miss this country and the way of life. I can walk 10 minutes from my flat and have better pasta on Bermondsey Street at the Flower and Grape than I can anywhere in Italy. Says it all. There are some great restaurants in Bermondsey Street, by the way. That's in part of London that you may not know about if you're not from London. But there are also some pretty good restaurants in Italy, I think you'll find. Maybe you need to travel a bit more, particularly in the north. I would suggest. I'm going to go there soon, I can tell you that. Lots more to come, of course, including the Perrier Awards and some haggis coming up for Burns Night. This is Talk Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham. Loads going on today. Lots of happy people and lots of respectful, positive people calling us to give us their view of why living here in Britain is actually a great thing. Rhea says this: how nice to hear British people being positive about their country. It always astounds me how derogatory British can be about themselves. I'm a foreigner and I love it here. Polite, respectful, safe country. Thank you. Well, isn't that a nice thing to say? Let's talk to Mike, who's up in York. Hello, Mike.
Afternoon, mate.
Afternoon, how are
weekend.
You? Yes, I'm planning to.
Well, happiness through me, for me is through my stomach.
Is it?
Stew and dumplings, you can't beat it.
What about some haggis today? It's Burns Night, for heaven's sake.
I don't think I'll have time to get that, but I'll certainly have a dram of whiskey with it.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, you try haggis if you've never had it. It's a very, very interesting taste.
Oh, I did say that. I've had it. Ah. It's just that I haven't got it in the freezer.
Oh, I see. Well, you can always go and get one, I'm sure. I mean, there might be a run on them at this time of the year, but you should be able to get one.
Maybe.
Right.
But you're right. Let's be happy. I mean, barbecue weather's coming up. We've got York races coming up.
Yeah.
Why can't anybody round York not be happy?
Yes, I know. What a beautiful city to be happy in as well.
Every day is an holiday.
Yeah.
You know, people come here for an holiday. Well, right. I'm fortunate and privileged to live here.
Yeah.
And not to put too fine, but it's a beautiful city. The food here.
Yeah.
You can wander around the city. I never get tired of looking at the architecture.
It's beautiful. It is a,
and when we have the races, Mike, we'll have the Irish people coming over.
Yeah.
And we'll get on like a house on fire. All this about troubles not doesn't exist.
No, of course. No, they're wonderful. They are wonderful. Mike, thank you very much indeed. Have a great weekend. Let's talk to Rainbow George, a man I've spoken to for many years, but not for a while. George, a very good afternoon to you.
Oh, good afternoon to you. Really happy.
Now, do you know you and I probably first started talking on the radio about 10 years ago?
Was it?
Something like that.
I've been talking on the radio for 35 years now.
Well, I haven't been on the radio that long.
No, but all to no effect.
Well, you say to no effect, but surely not to no effect. Surely maybe just to the effect that it's made you happy.
Well, 35 years ago, I entered the political arena with a party called Captain Rainbow's Universal Party.
Yeah.
And I was campaigning for Britain and Ireland to join together and become...
Did you ever stand in an election?
Oh, lots of elections.
Did you lose your deposit every time?
Of course I did. I
mean, how very
British. The
first
one was at Enfield Southgate in 1984, just after the Brighton bombing.
Right.
And stood against Michael Portillo and others, thinking I was going to sweep to victory and got 48 votes.
Well, you know, optimism is always a good thing.
Yes, well, I'm optimistic that the people of Britain and Ireland are going to join together and lead the way to a world of wonders. We're going to become the wise islands. Wales, Ireland, Scotland, England spells out wise. So we're going to transform into the wise islands, and we will lead the way to a world that has no countries or governments.
Well, as you say, you have been saying this for a long time and it hasn't actually happened.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen. I'm convinced of it. It's all...
Well, I mean, the only people who would like that to happen or have a model similar to that is the European Union. They'd love the idea that there are no countries in Europe apart from those which are governed by the European Union bureaucrats in Brussels.
No, we've got to start thinking about the new European Union, NEU, and the people of Britain and Ireland joining together. So it's a Brexit to Brexit, so it's a sort of our islands joining together and leading the way to a world of wonders and having a one world government to replace government. Yeah. We need to create a virtual intelligence that operates as a loving God and looks after all of us, gives us all the equivalent of 100 quid a day and makes life easy for
well,
all
listen,
of us.
Well, listen, it's a very nice aim. However, I'm not sure it's going to happen in my lifetime, probably not in yours. But, George, thank you very much indeed. Good to talk to you again. And to know that you still believe in all that stuff, even though every time you get the opportunity to stand in an election, nobody ever votes for you. It's not a problem. That is not the problem. The problem is people being negative rather than George and people like him being positive. I'd rather hear from him than negative people who always want to do everybody down and tell us all how terrible everything's going to be. Because it ain't going to be that terrible. It's going to be fine. Trust me.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
It's 12:33. It's Friday. It's time for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Perrier Awards.
Different music for this one.
It was the same last week.
Was it?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that.
For the new year, yeah.
Oh, was it for the new year? See, this is the thing. I don't notice these things. It's like when they put the Christmas tree up downstairs and I go, oh, you put the Christmas tree up. They went, it was here a week ago.
You know it's gone now.
I do know it's gone. Yeah, I did notice the day it went. I've still got my Christmas tree up, by the way, because do you know what? I bought this little small plastic tree because one of my sons was coming to visit me and we put little lights on it. And I quite like it. And also, I've got nowhere to put it. So it's still there.
You're going to be like one of those Mr. Christmases who turn up on the news and
that'll
I celebrate
me.
Christmas
Next
every day.
Next time I need a Mr. Christmas. Anyway, the voice you can hear is that of Cornelius Mendez, who is, of course, our producer. He's put together the Perriers for one more week, apparently with the new piece of music which we had last week. So off you go.
Yes, welcome one and all to another glittering edition of the Perry Awards. As you will know by now, this is where we cast our ears back over the past week of the so-called Independent Republic of Mike Graham and choose our favourite moments. So without further ado, let's begin. As is tradition, the first one goes to you, Mike.
Thank you.
You've won the Perrier for the oddest suffix of the week.
And I'm speaking to many Tory MPs and various other people down in Westminster last week, and we were down there in the Talk Radio tent of shame. The Talk Radio tent of shame. If only it was.
Yes.
It wasn't really, was it?
No, not really. It's just a gazebo.
Yeah.
A Perrier favourite now. It's best impression of the week. That goes to defence journalist Sean Raymond for his take on a person who has just had his first sip of an incredibly refreshing drink.
Is there no kind of one single body that's lobbying the government on their behalf, as it were? Or could there be? It wasn't that hard a question, was it?
I don't know. Barry Mortimer from the Federation of Master Builders wins not only the Perrier for the funniest named organisation, but he also wins the award for Word Counter of the Week.
Well, that's right. And a word that you used earlier that I really like is common sense.
Yeah. I did look at you when he said that as two words, right?
Yeah.
It's like a bit of the charades game. First word, common.
Over to caller Craig in Oxford. He wins the Perrier for the best Barry White of the week.
Let's go back to the phone. So Craig is in Oxford. Hello, Craig.
Afternoon, Mike.
Morning. It's not quite there yet. You've got five minutes to go. unless you're in a different time zone, obviously, in Oxford.
My wish.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? The Love Walrus.
It sounds like the anonymous voice
it
on
does
Crime,
a bit.
Crime
yeah,
Watch.
It does, yeah. When they put it through the ringer, or whatever they put it through. Yeah.
Another Perrier favourite now, it's Noise of the Week. That goes to Angela Knapp, of course, from the Oxford Tuneless Choir.
Well, it started 3 years ago with somebody in Nottingham who, when she was a little girl, was told that she shouldn't sing. Her music teacher, said to her, don't.
That was very out of character, I thought, as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's basically a very charming woman and suddenly just goes, grrr, for no reason. I was quite puzzled by that one.
Congratulations to Ryan in the New Forest, who clearly put a lot of effort before his call. He wins the Perrier for Best Prepared Joke of the Week.
It does. I was cracking up earlier about the drone with the laser on the pothole, so I just imagined some hippie underneath it going, I'm a pothead, not a pothole.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Yeah, he put a bit too much work into that.
Yeah, he clearly rehearsed.
Yes.
Back to you, Mike.
Yes.
Congratulations for winning the Best Marketing Campaigner of the Week for this moment when speaking to our political editor, Ross Kempsall.
A slightly different development at PMQs. Mr. Corbyn made reference to a Talk Radio exclusive story, which we broke yesterday, about the number of cabinet ministers who are at the World Economic Forum.
Yes, I saw them. Yeah, in fact, I retweeted it. There you go. Well, I just thought I should tell him in case he hadn't spotted that.
Fair play. Jasper Hamill, one of our favourite tech experts regularly on the show, he wins the Perrier for Best Tangent of the Week for managing to crowbar this little anecdote when he should have been discussing robot valet drones being used at airports.
The first time I went to Glastonbury, actually, I paid a man of £5 to smuggle me in on the back of a pig farming truck.
That was a great unusable anecdote, really, wasn't
it? Yeah,
yeah. I mean, why would you even come out with that?
It's like he had it lying around and went, just
better tell somebody about the pig truck.
Another one for you, Mike.
Mm.
Question of the week.
Is there a worldwide shortage of pig organs? Well, I'm afraid I can't answer that question. I mean, we know many things here at the Independent Republic, but pig organs, not a speciality of mine, I'm afraid. Surprisingly, nobody actually tweeted to tell me either. You know, I still don't know. It's a problem.
Rachel Jewell absolutely delivered the goods yesterday when it came to Gaffe of the Week.
A group of MPs calling for a people's vote wanted to table an amendment to Theresa May's Brexit plan, but they say it won't pass without Jeremy Corbyn's backing, or Talk Radio's political editor Ross Kempsall explains.
At a time...
Nope.
I still haven't got
that's
over
clearly
that.
Not Ross.
Certainly we'll gone you... under a bit of a change there.
We'll bring you that audio later.
Yeah, that was a bit worrying, really, to be honest.
Always fun. And finally, we should end with the best ending of a show this week. Congratulations to Matthew Wright. Now listen carefully to hear the end of our show from Wednesday.
Matthew Wright and Kevin O'Sullivan coming up after the news at 1.
Talk Radio.
That was him throwing up in the corner, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just the last thing you heard.
He gets nervous before a show.
Yes. Yeah. That's it for the Perry Awards this week. There will be more next Friday at the same time.
The Perrier Awards on Talk Radio.
More gun talk from a water pistol from the Farmer of Fury.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham
on Talk Radio.
This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. Of course, it is Burns Night as well, and I'm delighted to say that we've finally got to the important part of the show. Having told everybody how great life is and how brilliant the future is going to be, I'm now joined by Callum McKinnon, co-founder of Mac and Wild, which is a Scottish chain of restaurants, believe it or not, which I'm amazed, Callum, I've never been to or heard of.
Yeah, well,
now's your chance.
Yeah, well, so yeah, we've got two sites in London, and one up in the Highlands.
Yeah, I noticed that you're followed on Twitter by the Torridon Hotel. Yes. Which is one of my favourite places in the world,
yes.
I have to tell you. I mean, if you haven't been to Loch Torridon and stayed at that hotel there, you haven't lived. It's absolutely incredible.
Oh, it's absolutely stunning up there.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Our site up in the Highlands, it's at Falls of Shin, so you can see the kind of salmon jumping.
Right.
It's like 2 miles down a single track.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Beautiful.
And it's beautiful.
So where are you from in Scotland?
So I'm from Aberdeen originally.
Okay.
And then I went to university in Edinburgh.
All right.
And,
well, I used to do a radio show at Talk 107. I don't know if that was around when you were in Edinburgh, but it was a radio station in Edinburgh for a while.
Yeah.
Which is now no longer, unfortunately. But did the Edinburgh Festival a couple of times. Edinburgh's a great place. I love it.
Yeah.
Love it very much. So what have you brought in for us today? Because it's, of course, Burns Night, which means, for those Sassenachs who are out there who don't know, you eat haggis, you eat tatties, and you eat neeps. Which, of course, is Scottish for turnips.
Yeah, and indeed. I guess, on Burns Night, you can have the kind of traditional haggis, neeps and tatties that's very well known. At Mac and Wild, we do the haggis, neeps and tatties, but we've kind of done a sort of more modern sort of take on that, and we've created a haggis, neeps and tatties burger.
Wow. And you brought one in.
Yeah, well, I brought two in. So we did this in conjunction with...
This looks great. And it's hot, so I could actually eat this now.
Yeah, well,
this
just came from the restaurant, and we've got the gravy.
Fantastic.
So we did a sort of collaboration with Hague Club.
It looks like it's on a kind of muffin, is that right?
That is right, yeah. So this is a whiskey...
So would you pour that on the top of it?
Yeah. Well, no, so yeah, you open up the lid, and then you pour the whiskey gravy over the burger.
That looks very good indeed.
Actually,
and so the is the burger sort of genuinely made from... haggis, neeps and tatties just kind of mixed up?
Yeah.
Into
so
a patty,
Well, the burger itself, it's actually, it's about 15% venison. It's also got black pudding in it as well.
Right. Very nice. Sounds very rich.
Yeah, and then it's got this whiskey gravy that gives it that juiciness. So.
Because, I mean, haggis has now become a thing, hasn't it? Where I was saying to you before, years and years ago when I was a kid, like we used to all celebrate Burns Night, but you could only really go to places like Fortnum and Mason's and Harrods to get haggis.
Yeah.
Now you can get one in Tesco's.
Yeah, well, no, it's definitely becoming a thing. And what
I'm
love,
take a bite of this, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, on you go. Yeah, what I love down here in London is, people go crazy for Burns down here. Mm. And so we were fully booked for dinner in November for Burns Night.
Mm.
And that's why we kind of decided, well, let's do these kits where people can come into the restaurant and they can actually buy a kit to take home.
Oh, okay. So what's in the kit?
So in the kit, there's a Munro's haggis, there's some tatties, there's neeps, there's a little, there's 50 milliliters of Hague Club Clubman.
Okay.
For your whiskey sauce. And we've also got a recipe book and a guide. So in the guide, it will help you host the perfect burns.
Oh, excellent. So let's have a look and see what's inside the guide. Do you have the ode to the haggis in here as well, presumably?
Yeah, so the address is in there. Some of his more famous poetry is in there. And then we've got Auld Lang Syne, the words for that, because we encourage everyone to sing that at the end of the night.
And it's a great event in Scotland, isn't it, when you go to a burn Burns Night, you know, one of those with the bagpipes and they pipe the haggis in and all of that. It's a fantastic event.
Yeah, definitely. We've got that going on in our sites in London. So we've got pipers, we've got Scottish country dancers. We're even doing a silent Kaylee disco outside in the square. So
that's always good.
Yeah, that's
and it's the eve, is it not? No, it's not the eve of the Six Nations, is it? That's next weekend.
Yeah, the Six Nations kicks off next weekend. So we're excited about that as well. But
great. So you've got the finishing put, the Toast to the Lassies, which in this day and age is actually rather brave of you. Toast to the Laddies as well.
Yeah, well, there's a Toast to the Lassies and a Toast to the Laddies. Yeah. So, yeah. It's,
This was originally a short speech given by a male guest in thanks to the women who had prepared the meal. However, today in our modern world, the toast is yours to write, a reflection, an ode, or whatever he may wish. Just remember, it will be followed by a reply from the Lassies. So we make it amusing rather than offensive, which is always a good piece of advice, I would imagine. Yeah, now, when you make the tatties, do they always have to be mashed? Because that was how I always had them. I had them kind of mashed up as well, and then the neeps would be mashed on the side as well.
Yeah, traditionally. And as I said, we do serve the kind of traditional haggis, neeps and tatties in the restaurant. So, yeah, traditionally, yes. But in the restaurant, as well as obviously traditional haggis, neeps and tatties, we do haggis pops, which is like little deep fried kind of balls of haggis.
Okay.
We've got haggis mac and cheese.
Right.
And then obviously the haggis, neeps and tatties burger, which we're running.
And do you make your own haggis or do you get it in from somewhere else?
So we get our haggis from Munro's, from Dingwall. So they've been around for over 100 years.
Right.
I think their haggis is fantastic. But we also run haggis making masterclasses at our sites in London.
Right.
So we actually make our own haggis and we show people how to make haggis then.
Wow. And what other sort of things do you have in the restaurant then? What sort of Scottish fare would you sell?
So venison is our sort of core. So my business partner's family own Ardguy Game up in the Highlands, so all the game kind of comes from there.
Okay.
And all the game is completely wild, so there's nothing farmed. So we think it's really important to know.
Very organic.
Yeah, exactly. It's really important to know where your meat.
That's
came
an important
from.
Thing now, isn't it? I think more and more people, even if they would never have considered it, say 5 or 6 years ago, are now thinking more about that.
Yeah, definitely. And on our menu, we clearly say where everything comes from. We even say who hunted the
oh, really?
Deer that kind of right. that day. So yeah, animal welfare is an integral part to our kind of business, and using wild kind of produce as opposed to kind of farmed.
And what about the whiskey front? Because you've obviously got hundreds probably of whiskies. We hear an awful lot now about gin being distilled in Scotland.
Yeah.
I think Scotland is now the biggest centre of distilled gin in the world, bizarrely.
Yeah.
All of these little sort of tiny distilleries that are growing up. But I mean, how do you choose a whiskey to go with the haggis?
It's difficult. Like whiskey for me, it's there's a whiskey for everyone in the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, and I see so many people in Mac and Wild, and when I speak to them, they're like, oh, I don't like whiskey, but there is a whiskey for everyone. It's about kind of leading them into it.
Mm.
And it's about enjoying whiskey however you want it. Like there's no right or wrong way to enjoy whiskey, whether it's with a mixer or whether it's with ice. Like it's yours to enjoy as you want it.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I actually went to an event, funnily enough, because there's a new show, a TV show out on Amazon called The Three Drinkers. I don't know if you've seen it or heard of it, where they basically just travel around in Scotland visiting different distilleries.
Yeah.
And so the Amazon put on this party at the Dorchester, and it was whiskey only. So you could there was a stall over here where you could get just drams and shots of whiskey. Then there was another guy making cocktails, old fashions, and all that kind of thing. It was brilliant. I mean, I myself am a kind of a malt whiskey man, I suppose, of the lighter variety rather than the peaty variety.
Yeah.
And I used to remember where they all came from, but from my time up there. But I think it was at Speyside.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. They're the slightly easier.
Lighter ones.
Yeah, so we've sort of segmented on you rather than kind of region, because a lot of people don't really kind of fully understand
most
what the different
don't.
Regions so we've segmented our menu into flavor profile so it's a lot easier and a lot more approachable and we really want more people to be enjoying whiskey
and
we're working closely with a lot of the whiskey brands to kind of do that, and we use whiskey, and we've got a lot of whiskey cocktails and whiskey highballs and actually using whiskey in cooking, like for example we're using Hague Club in the
whiskey
enough,
gravy. The first time I ever had whiskey in anything in terms of food was once I was at a New Year's Eve party in New York, and there was some Scottish people throwing it, and they had little sort of haggis cupcakes almost with whiskey poured on them, and it tasted great. It goes really well with haggis.
Yeah, well, whiskey gives you that kind of like sort of, I guess depends what whiskey you use, but for example
gives you a bad hangover though.
If you drink too much
of it. But we do a whiskey espresso martini, and then that smokiness gives the espresso martini a real kind of depth to it.
Okay. And do you sell the really, really expensive ones as well? Because, you know, I've always thought that I was told once by like Johnny Walker Blue Label and stuff like that. Is kind of for the American market, because the people over there are a bit sort of think if you charge them $100 for a bottle, it must be great.
Yeah.
But it's a blended whiskey. It can't be that good, can it?
Yeah, I'm actually a big fan of Johnny Walker.
I'm not having a go at them. I'm just saying the fact that it's older than the fact that they sell it as like a 12-year-old blended whiskey doesn't really make it any better.
Yeah, yeah. I guess we've got a wide range of whiskies, and we've got some expensive stuff. But ultimately, we're trying to get more people into whiskey, so we're really kind of focusing more on the more approachable kind of lower entry.
Okay. Well, I'm delighted to see that you brought this bag in here. We're going to put a picture out of it a little bit later on. It's the Mackenwell Butcher's bag, and it's got inside it, as we were saying earlier, it's got a haggis, it's got some potatoes, it's got some whiskey, it's got some a turnip as well. And I'm going to be eating that a bit later on.
Well, yeah, I hope you use this tonight.
No, I will.
Amazing.
Absolutely right, because, I mean, Burns Night is to be celebrated on Burns Night.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the problems of when I used to be in Glasgow. It wasn't always the same night. It was sometimes you'd have to have a Burns Night on the night that it was maybe Wednesday and then have another one on the Saturday.
Yeah.
So are you doing it just tonight, or are you doing it all weekend?
Our big celebration is tonight, obviously. Yesterday we were having, we had the haggis making masterclasses, but we're doing our haggis neeps and tatty burger every day until the 3rd of February.
Oh, are you?
So people get a chance to come in and enjoy it and try it.
Brilliant. Well, Callum McKinnon, co-founder of the Mac and Wild restaurant chain, it sounds like a great place to visit. I'm going to definitely have to come and sample some of your whiskey cocktails, because that sounds like a very good afternoon ruined. I'll be very, very happy.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
So if you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio, via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.